Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. Ye who had injury. Ye who had.
King Derek the fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They had Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now.
You got to be a trendsetter.
14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Good morning. It is Friday. It is The Drive with Say and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well at the ready at the phone because John Crispin, former Penn State star, now ESPN basketball analyst, set to join us around 4:15. He's got important duties before then. He has to feed his 18-month-old. So I certainly don't want to get in the way of that. So he will call us, in other words, when he's good to go on that. But excited to talk to John Crispin. We'll preview Illinois and St. Francis here. I thought they were from Pennsylvania. They're just up north. Is that the other one? Is like Indiana, Pennsylvania?
Indiana, or Pennsylvania, yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy. But this one.
NAIA.
Oh, okay. And I heard Brad say that he wanted, as you knew, you were at the press conference, that he was really wanting to get two exhibitions here at State Farm Center to allow the transfers and the freshmen a chance to play in front of a crowd in State Farm Center. How big of a deal do you think that is? Do you think that's look, these guys have all played in front of, you know, Omar Payne played down in Florida, so he's played in front of SEC schools before and such, even in the NCAA tournament, I think. Plummer played out of Utah, so there's crowds there. Now Luke Goody and these other guys, these freshmen coming in, I'm sure they didn't play in front of 15,000, but there's probably not going to be 15,000 there tomorrow. But, you know, how big of a deal you think is that? I guess, if nothing else, to get comfortable with your own setting.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's important. Now, it's going to be hard to take too much away from tomorrow night. We'll see what happens.
Unless Goody scores like 50.
Yeah, then we'll be like, he's ready. Big Ten Freshman of the Year, look out, go. Max Christie, and you know the three top 50 players that Michigan is bringing in as far as incoming freshmen. But yeah, I think that getting used to that environment again is important, and just to for the freshmen, for Austin Hutcherson, as we talked about throughout the week,
sure,
maybe not as much Plummer and Payne. Maybe it's not as big of a shock because, like you're saying, they've played high major basketball, they've played in front of crowds. But it has been. It's odd. I was looking it up, and it's been almost 600 days.
That's unreal.
Since fans have been in State Farm Center to watch an actual game. And this one is an exhibition game, so it doesn't technically count. But just to kind of get that thing flowing again and, yeah, to shake some rust off, get used to, like I said yesterday, the starting lineups.
Yeah.
Playing against another opponent there. And, I mean, you're going to ultimately play teams that have – guys taller than 6'7",
right?
But this is just kind of that warm up and dress rehearsal and get things going.
I remember asking you this, how eerie it was for you to pull up an Illini basketball game last year, a game, let's say, against Iowa, and there was nobody parked outside. That had to have been, I think that would almost be more eerie, not eerie, I don't think that's the right word. That would almost be as strange as walking in to State Farm Center and nobody being in there. Because, you know, whenever you go to a football or basketball game, you're always walking by a lot of cars and, you know, people are there. You're seeing people. You're passing people. You guys, you just pulled up in the media and you were it. That was it. You and the officials, the coaches, and the players. And I know there were other people, but not many.
No, there weren't very many. And, yeah, it was different of, like, you want to make sure at certain times, like, if you're within 30 minutes, like I go from radio and you're cruising down St. Mary's Road and there's a big line to turn left. And like, I got to get into my parking spot so I can get to the floor.
Get out.
And then there's like nobody there.
Wow.
And it was super weird.
It's like me at 6:45 a.m. on tailgate Saturday.
Yeah.
Pretty easy jaunt.
Right? Not a lot of traffic.
No.
But yeah, just for big games when Iowa comes to town.
Yeah.
And it's about to tip off and you know that it's a huge game.
Mm.
And you just look around, it's like there's no energy in here.
Zero.
And when both teams go back in the locker room for their final preparations, it's just dead.
It's crazy.
And I remember being in Indianapolis for the Baylor game, and you literally had four of the top 10 to 12 teams
That's
in the country
right.
all in the same building, and it was just like just this emotionless, even during timeouts, they weren't super prepared for it because it was still early on in the year.
Yes.
They didn't even play music during the timeouts.
Oh, that
it was
would
just
be
this
weird.
Complete dead, like...
It's like Saturday morning intramural basketball,
right.
And it's like, oh boy, like, is everybody awake? Did the other teams even get a chance? Like when Illinois played Baylor... Did the other teams even get a chance to watch that game, or did they have to stay out of the gym? I assume
I
they
think
had
they were
to stay.
Out.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Illinois and Baylor weren't. You know, sometimes you have like middle school, like a seventh and eighth grade game. The seventh graders stick around for the first half, and they're like watching, and then they go into the locker.
Right.
You didn't have any of that either.
None of that.
Or like they'd go shoot on the hoops like during a timeout or halftime. No, none of that.
That's crazy.
So yeah, it's going to be good to. Get that sense, and we've seen it in football, and,
yeah.
and it was great to get back in Memorial Stadium and see the crowds and feel that energy. And then tomorrow night, even though it's not going to be a sold out crowd, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of people, even though it's late night, even though it's an exhibition game, that want to just get any kind of glimpse they can in person look at this team that's top 15 in the country and a Big Ten title contender.
8 p.m. tip off, State Farm Center. I assume there are tickets to be had. Just go to findingillini.com, and I'm sure you'll be able to get some tickets for the game tomorrow night. So if you're one of those that maybe doesn't go to a lot of Illini games, this might be a chance to get a pretty good ticket and go watch these guys early on and kind of get an idea of who the newcomers are and see the progression that you've seen out of Trent, DeMonte, Kofi, and such down the road. That'll be fun. Illinois football, of course, at Penn State, at Happy Valley. That's an 11 a.m. start on ABC, so there won't be any, you know, interchanges in terms of having to pay attention to one and watch the other, because the Illinois football game certainly will be over by the time basketball tips at 8. If it's not, we got problems. So Illinois and Penn State, actually, if it's not, that means Illinois really put a good battle. Took them to like 24 overtimes,
right.
You know, I mean, so that would be a heck of a deal. I don't know that Sean Clifford is going to be available for Penn State. I know he practiced this week. Unfortunately, that's not really that big a news, right? I mean, if this was week one and we were trying to figure out if Adrian Martinez was going to be available to play against Illinois, we'd be a lot more tuned in, dialed into something like that. But if Sean Clifford plays, that certainly helps Penn State as they get set to face Ohio State in Columbus next week. So, you know, they always talk about trap games. I don't think they're, you know, I guess Illinois is the trap game here for Penn State, but their backup quarterback, whose name eludes me, is a guy that last week didn't really show much promise when it came to passing the football. And Penn State, believe it or not, the running game isn't that great. So I think this Illinois defense could do a little bit of damage in terms of trying to keep this team in the game. The problem is I don't know how the offense is going to score, because Penn State is the highest rated defensive scoring team in the Big Ten. You know this. I saw your prediction on a line I inquire, and I'm all about it. By the way, you're 7-1.
I am.
You didn't have
a good
lot of
year
faith
last
in Illinois,
year too.
Did
no, I my record was built up on Illinois not having a good record. They were more of us kind of a not saying that I was hoping for that to happen. That was just kind of my expectations. And
you could have told me that before
I made
that. I
picked a week zero
win. You did.
Against Nebraska.
Wow, you're like undefeated. Well, no, what'd you miss?
I missed UTSA.
Oh, okay. That's fair. All right, by the way, we are going to let's just do it now, because they've got to get here by 6 o'clock. We have two tickets to give away for this Illinois game tomorrow, the exhibition game tomorrow night. So why don't you just text in at 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. I'm all over the place. 217-359-2255. Text in Crispin. Let's do that. And Trevor will take like the 10th texter. Now, you have to get here to the radio station, which is right across from Meyer on Windsor in Urbana. You have to be here by 6 o'clock to pick up the tickets. So go ahead and text in Crispin, and we'll give someone a chance to go to the game tomorrow night on us, which will be exciting. And you'll be there, obviously.
I'll be there, yep.
So that'll be something we're all looking forward to. We got a little Who You Got Week 8 edition coming up later. Now, Hans D. not here because he is going to some football game somewhere. So
I figured he was counting his money in some island.
Now, he did leave us. He did leave us another parlay for this week, and we are compelled to use it. I mean, we have to. We have to bet it, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those that you have to do. So we'll get to all of that. Again, John Crispin, ESPN basketball analyst, will be joining us soon. Last night, the Dodgers get it done. I know the Braves jumped out 2-0. First inning. 2-0 Braves jump out. The Dodgers fire back. Was it Seager that had three home runs?
Chris Taylor.
Oh, Chris Taylor. I didn't realize
Which we're
that.
Not too fond of for his home run in the ninth inning.
When did he become such a slugger? Of course, he and Jose Altuve are about the same guy, it seems like, and they're both just drilling home runs. That's a big win for L.A. Obviously, it sends it back to Atlanta, 3-2 Atlanta in the lead. They just have to win one of the next two, but the Dodgers won't go down easy. I can promise you that. And, of course, they win it big yesterday. What is your sense for that series going forward? Do you sense that Atlanta can take care of business? I mean, they're pitching has been really good. They've been getting timely hitting, of course, throughout the entire playoffs. But this is an L.A. team that obviously has a lot of talent, has a lot of depth, has pitching of their own, and they can do some damage offensively. What is your sense when it comes to that series? Do you think Atlanta can take care of it and head on to the World Series?
They can. It's just it is super hard to come back from 3-1, and that's what L.A. is going to have to do. Now, they get the much-needed win last night to push it back to Atlanta. Then they get to throw Scherzer in game 6, which I'd feel pretty good if I'm a Dodgers fan about him going in a, you know, do or die scenario, Amen. Push it to game 7. And at that point, all the pressure, I mean, already a lot of the pressure is mounting for Atlanta. And of course, there's going to be the narrative of, oh, is Atlanta going to do Atlanta things again in terms of blowing a lead and bowing out early? I don't know. I don't feel like I have a great read on this series, honestly. I thought the Dodgers would make fairly quick work of them, like in 5 games, maybe 6 games.
I did too.
So I've been surprised and impressed with what Atlanta's been able to do, but I'd lean Scherzer getting it done in game 6, and I'm not sure exactly what the pitching matchups would be in game 7. The Dodgers would probably throw Buehler again, right?
Yeah, I would assume. Who, they knocked him out early.
They did.
Atlanta knocked him out after what, 1 inning? Or early, at least.
It was very early. I think it was within
or maybe the first three innings. Yeah. So that will be interesting as well. Tonight, of course, you have the Red Sox and Astros in that series. That is what? Houston up 3-2 as they go back to Houston. So it appears that the Astros are in pretty good shape to at least get one of two there at home to advance to the World Series again. Luis Garcia goes for Houston. Nathan Eovaldi will pitch for the Red Sox in that. So it's shaping up to be at least the Astros in this World Series, and that's one of those
Oh, definitely.
But what do you do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. John Crispin, ESPN basketball analyst, set to join us next. We'll talk a little Illini basketball and some Big Ten. It is The Drive.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana.
Sometimes the team at Banco Overhead Door in Muhammad gets asked,
what kind of garage doors can you repair?
What they should be asked is,
what kind of garage doors don't you repair?
The team at Banco is ready to serve your needs, whether it's brand new door installation or even just replacing sections of your current model. They also offer installation of safety sensors and weather stripping to keep yourselves and your doors safe from harm. Whether it's a a new door, custom door, a motor, a part, or an existing door, Banco repairs it all. Find out more about what the team at Banco can do for you at 217-590-4085.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B and Stevie J broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
Old Georgie, hard to beat it. It is The Drive with Say and Piper. Latte, Derek Piper will get you ready for Illinois and Penn State tomorrow. Well, as much as we can. Or as much as we want to, I guess, in that one. That, of course, at 11 a.m. kick on ABC. Great time to trot out the Illini with whoever quarterback they're going to throw out there in that game. So we'll get you ready for that. We got a little Who You Got, and we'll preview a little bit of Illinois and St. Francis. Illinois basketball begins tomorrow, and we soon get to hear. Let's go. That means CBS is taking another commercial, of course, quickly. It is time to welcome in ESPN basketball analyst. You can follow him on Twitter, at John Crispin ESPN. And that's two eyes in Crispin. John, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Now, I think I'm better because you guys don't sound too optimistic about the Penn State-Illinois football game this weekend. I think my Nittany Lions should do all right, right?
Sounds like
there's not a lot of optimism in that studio.
I think you're in good shape tomorrow. Now, I don't know about the next week at Columbus,
yeah,
but certainly I think you're going to be okay. I wouldn't even consider this a trap game, John. I think you're in pretty good shape. I got to know, did you get the 18-month Fed?
Did I get this? Say that again?
Did you get your baby Fed?
Yes, I did get my baby Fed. Early bird special people around here. Seriously, you have a child and you realize like bedtime is this special time. And the thing is, my little guy and my wife, I gotta give my wife credit. She trained this dude, and I say train like a dog because that's what she did. She trained this guy to just put himself to sleep. And we just put him in bed at 7 o'clock and he sleeps till 7:30 the next morning. So the whole lead up has to be right. You have to eat dinner at around 5 o'clock. Because, you know, like all the old folks, you got to get in early, get it done. You know, it's nice. I mean, dinner's cheaper when you go out.
Yes.
We're great for happy hours. I mean, so the little guy does provide some sort of benefit.
I love this. And now all of a sudden tonight he won't sleep and John Crispin's going to be blaming us as we go along.
It'll be your fault.
Yeah, right.
Basketball season starts and my whole schedule gets thrown off. Because heaven forbid that has to actually work. You know, it's amazing.
Thanks a lot, Lon and Derek. Well, listen, let's get into basketball. We've got hoops starting for Illinois tomorrow. Yeah. How excited, John? I mean, I know around here, this is a team that just outside the top 10 with the AP top 25, but certainly a team that returns a lot. We don't need to tell you that, but there's a lot of excitement for Illinois basketball again. What are you expecting when you look kind of from a distance at this Brad Underwood Illinois squad?
Well, I think you're going to see a little bit more consistency than we've seen in the past few years. And you've got to go back to the beginning with Brad Underwood. I think everybody, you know, forgets that this was going to be a program that was built around pace, speed, tempo, a frenetic style defensively. But Brad Underwood's smart. He understands not only can you not play that way, you can't really win that way consistently in the Big Ten. So he did adapt a bit. And obviously you get a guy like Kofi Coburn, you've got to adapt to your personnel. So you do balance things out a little bit more. But in doing so, you may sacrifice a little of that identity that you built along the way. And I just think it's taken a couple years to figure out how to be balanced, right? On offense and defense, that means play with tempo when you have opportunities and create some opportunities to play with tempo. But also, don't take your best piece off the floor by playing too fast. And they've started to figure that out. I think Andre Curbelo is the real key. I mean, he's a guy last year that I saw. I'm like, first off, this kid plays like 40 years old. He's got a savvy way about him, right? He plays with an edge, but it's a quiet edge. He does things that old men have to do when they slow down. So he's got a crafty game. I think the key for Curbelo, though, is really just being patient as the season goes on. You've got to be – he's a superstar. I'm telling you this right now. He is a superstar. I think he's a pro. But you've got to be patient. You can't just come in right away and say, I'm going to be the man and I'm going to score 25 points a game, because this is a pretty well-balanced offense. I think if he's good defensively, he can push tempo with defensive rebounds. He's going to create a lot of opportunities for himself. But the balance around the perimeter and that inside-out presence, or as I should say, outside-in presence, because nobody plays inside-out anymore, that's just crazy. It's going to help them. So I'm excited to see Andre Crabell. I'm also excited. I'm talking about Trent Frazier. Like, here's a kid we don't talk enough about, man. I talked to Brad Underwood at Media Day, and he was just – he raved about Trent Frazier and what he's meant to this program. So I just think they've got the pieces to make a nice run. Doesn't mean it's going to look pretty all the time, but this is college basketball where all that matters is who you are in February and March.
Yep.
You've got to build to that. And I think this team, you're kind of hovering around the top 10, but you're not in it, which is a good thing. You become that competitive team that tries to earn a spot in that top 10 when it actually matters.
John, how aggressive do you think Curbelo needs to be with his jump shot? Because I think you're trying to wonder how much that's going to progress in terms of the three-pointer. And if he does show it as a weapon, obviously that's going to be something that defenses have to adjust to, because I think that going in, they're going to try to make him take that shot. Does he need to look for that, or is it something that still play your game, get in the lane whenever you can, and try to find other guys as well?
So it's a combination of two things, right? There's the team adjustment, and then there's the player adjustment. And we'll start with the player adjustment is, what don't I do really well that I need to do better? Doesn't mean you need to be great at it. You just need to be proficient at it. You need to be, or I should say, more efficient about it, and maybe not even proficient. You got to be able to make open shots. I'm here in the South Jersey area, and, you know, we're close to Philadelphia, so we know what it's like to have a point guard who can't shoot.
Oh, boy.
Right? And who doesn't like to be criticized and all that stuff. But, you know, I think he's the kind of kid that he'll figure it out. And the other thing we forget is, like, it's not that he can't shoot. It's a different game. His role was different last year. He didn't really have a lot of opportunity to take a ton of shots. Clearly, he had an offseason where he's going to work on it. He also has to figure out where his shots come from. I think that leads to the team adjustment. So the thing the team needs to do is provide good spacing. If you provide good spacing, you can't just allow a guy to shoot, because he still has room to get by you. And then he's going to get the ball to a better shooter in a wide open spot. So it really is a combination of the two, of an individual and Andre Curbelo getting better at something that he's not great at, right? You just need to be better. You know, you just need to be able to make 35% of your threes, and chances are he's going to get open looks, because they will sag. They won't close hard. No way they're closing hard on him, so he will have time to line up a shot. He just needs to shoot it with confidence. Truth be told, he just needs to shoot it with fearlessness. That's something I wish I had as a player, because I was always a good shooter, and at times I was great as a shooter.
I agree.
And the times I was great is when I didn't think, right? When I just went out and played instinctually, took the shots that were open. Sometimes they weren't open, but I just made three in a row, so every shot looks open. You know, so it's like that type of thing where you have to trust in your other abilities and just say, you know what, I'm going to let it fly and not worry about it. It's the hardest thing to do as a player. I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing to do, especially when you're starting to be talked about as an NBA caliber guy. He's a pro. He's going to be what takes this team into a potential Final Four run. And I think he just needs to loosen it up now. I think the pressure is there. You've got to get around it, not just from yourself, but you also have to trust your team in providing that spacing that you need to be able to make open shots and also drive open lanes.
Of course, Joe would tell you he was the best shooter in the house, right?
Yeah, and he would also tell you he was mentally the toughest as well. My response is usually that's because I was the mentally abused one by my older brother. I also remind him that I was a better football player than I was baseball player, a better baseball player than I was football player, and certainly a better football player than I was basketball player. So I like to remind him that, Joe, you're trying to compare my skills to my third option. So,
I like it.
So I don't know what you're trying to get at. You know, clearly there's one that's a better athlete.
I love it.
John, the challenges of replacing Io DeSumo go without really saying it, but losing Io, losing Adam, losing Georgie, what does that present for this team? I know there's a lot of people that think this is going to be a deeper Illini team if a guy like Coleman Hawkins steps up, or Omar Payne, Alfonso Plummer, the transfers come in and make impacts. But what do they have to answer in terms of replacing those guys? Or how do you just see this team being differently now that those guys are gone and some new pieces are inserted into the mix?
Well, the key is, you know, Io was the guy, right? He was the guy down the stretch. And every great team needs a guy. And it doesn't mean that guy. Look, and to give my brother credit after I just ripped him, he was our guy. right? We knew down the stretch when we're up one against Kentucky at Kentucky, we knew just to clear out and give him a chance to make a play. Wasn't meaning that he was going to make the shot or even take the shot, but he was going to make the play. There's something about that that makes teams great. You trust the guy who has the ball in his hands. And I think it's going to create opportunity, but the right guy doesn't view it as opportunity. The right guy views it as responsibility. And I feel like I just gave a political speech. Maybe these guys should freaking listen to me.
That's well
like,
done.
The right person doesn't view it as opportunity. It's responsibility. Mm. It's your responsibility to be the guy that makes a tough decision down the stretch, that takes a tough shot, that makes the right pass, ultimately makes the right decision. So I do think that's the thing that you're missing. It's got to be Curbelo because he's the guy you want to have the ball in his hands, which means you got to protect him defensively, which I think they can do. But I do think it's going to be a little bit of that depth and balance where the team that starts the game may look a lot different than the team that finishes the game. Because I look at a guy like Alphonso Plummer and I say, man, he's a shooter. If he just spaces the floor, you're a better team. So if you rely on that shot from the perimeter, you're a much better team down the stretch. So I think there are some interesting lineups, but ultimately you've got to figure out, and I don't think there's any question that Curbelo's that guy because he can create, can make a lot of things happen. But you've got to love that role. You've got to want that role. And in wanting that role, you also have to be able to live with yourself when you miss. And that's something that I will give my brother a ton of credit for. He'll tell you that, look, I won more games than I lost, but there's nothing worse than missing that shot. And there's nothing worse than the next couple days that I have to wait to go redeem myself. And that's a winner, man. That's a leader. So ultimately, you're looking for that guy, right? The alpha dog. And to replace Io, yeah, it's a big jump for somebody. But I think Curbelo's going to be that guy.
Great stuff. The cool Crispin Joe. John. I did that on purpose. The cool Crispin, John Crispin joining us, ESPN basketball analyst at John Crispin ESPN. I want to ask you, I know we all try to forget it, and unfortunately, even Brad Underwood said that right before his first practice, he finally threw in the tape, I always say tape because I'm old, of the Loyola game last year in the NCAA tournament. John, what can Illinois... How can they look at that? Do they just try to put that as far behind them as they can? Is it one thing that they try to learn from? How do you think this team approaches that whole Loyola game? Is that just it's in the rearview mirror and we're not thinking about it anymore?
Oh, no, it's not in the rearview mirror. And look, there's a lot of things in my rearview mirror, but I see every one of them.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? And the question is, am I better because I see it or am I worse? And I think that's the question you have to ask the team is say, look, we're not watching this to feel bad. You know, we're not watching this to feel like we missed an opportunity. We're right. watching this to be better. Mm. And I think that's what good coaches do. You know, the old school used to be, let me make these guys feel as badly as possible. Kids aren't the same anymore. And that's not a knock on kids. It's just the reality. They're not the same. There's a sensitivity to things because of what this whole thing in college basketball Lord willing, leads to for a lot of these guys, right? You know, an opportunity to be a professional. There's pressure on these kids unlike there ever was before. I was just happy to play college basketball and hoped I had an opportunity. Today, everything you do is about where it's going to take you. So there's a pressure that you have to manage as a coach, and you've got to be cognizant of that. So it really is about how we're going to be better. And I think where they're going to be better is they're going to realize we're not that good. And that's a great lesson to learn. We can be beaten by anybody. Doesn't matter whether it's a Power 5, Power 6 school in college basketball. Doesn't matter whether it's Loyola or anybody else. We can be beaten when it matters. We have to play every minute. And we have to have a response. You can't just wait and sit back and say, well, eventually they're going to miss. Eventually we're going to figure it out. No.
Exactly.
Every play matters. And sometimes it sounds like cliche. And in so many ways it is. But you have to remember that in this game, the parity in college basketball is unlike anything else. And the parity in the women's game is growing.
Sure.
You know, really,
when
you have professional opportunity, it's growing. Where it's not just the top five teams and then everybody else. You see top 25, top 50 teams beating the best team in the country. It's changing. And in the men's game, it's been there and it will continue to be there because there is an abundance of talent out there. And even Loyola doesn't look like the most talented team. Well, you got to define talent, right? Do you know how to read? Do you know how to react? Do you know how to put opponents in a bad situation? Do you know how to win the position battle? Well, they do all that right. That's talent. That's understanding. That's feel. So I think Illinois has to understand that you have to develop a lot of the little things to the point where your talent puts you above everybody else. But your skill set, your feel, your ability to read and react and be comfortable in a fast-paced game – That's what puts you on the level. And then it's your talent that makes you that much better. You can't rely on talent first. And I think that's ultimately the lesson. If I was speaking to these guys, that would be the lesson I would teach them. Is, guys, your talent is going to be what makes you great. But what makes us good are the little things. And ultimately, yeah, my definition of success is doing a lot of little things right for the right reasons. You know, that's it right there. Just do a lot of little things right. You set yourself up to be great because your talent then allows you to be better than anybody else. And I think that was what was missing in that game, where they just waited for someone to turn it on.
Great call.
And Loyola never shut it off.
Well said.
John, in terms of talent, Michigan probably has as much as anybody in the Big Ten. And all anybody around here wants to talk about is Illinois, Michigan, Hunter Dickinson, what he's saying.
Yeah.
What do you see out of them this year? They've got a lot of talented freshmen. They did lose quite a few pieces, but maybe just first that rivalry that's kind of brewing between Illinois and Michigan, but also kind of where Michigan stacks up and how you see them this upcoming season.
Well, first off, it's great being just a bystander here. Like, I think it's the greatest thing in the world that there's a little brewing rivalry, and it happens every now and then, and it often happens with one or two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's one little situation that leads to a rivalry, and it's the best thing for college basketball. It's the best thing for the Big Ten. Now, I'm not as sold. It's funny. Like, yeah, there's a ton of talent. I'm not as sold on Michigan as everybody else is. And I feel like it's the same way I was last year about Michigan State. They beat Duke, and everyone's like, oh, they're Final Four good. I'm like, they don't have a point guard.
Right.
You know, they don't really understand how to play to their identity because they don't have a point guard. And I look at this team, and I go, I don't think you realize how important Franz Wagner, Mike Smith, Isaiah Livers, Sean D. Brown, and Austin Davis were.
Amen.
And one of the most important guys might have been freaking Austin Davis.
Yep.
And that's what people don't understand about college basketball. It's not the guys with the big stats that make you good. It's the guys that hold you accountable and hold themselves accountable. They're the guys that make the program better. Freshmen don't know how to do that.
Hmm.
They don't. They haven't been held accountable yet. Like, this is the first time they'll ever be held accountable. This is the first time they'll ever have to develop good life habits, not just basketball habits. And those life habits are what makes you a better teammate. So I think there's going to be a bit of a learning curve with this team. Do I think they'll be good? Absolutely. I don't think they're going to be great to start the season. I think there's a lot to figure out. And sometimes what you have to figure out is not how to play. It's the dynamic of your team. Who's who? Pecking order, right? Pickup basketball is the best way to do it. You figure out pecking order really quick.
No
who's
doubt.
Who's your alpha? Who's in charge? What do you do as a team in the locker room? If you're a fly on the wall in the locker room, you can tell who the leaders really are. And it's rarely the guys that are leading the way in the stat sheets. So I think that's what's missing. Eli Brooks is probably the biggest key because he understands. He's been there. He's played for two great coaches. And he understands what it takes to win at a high level. He's struggled at times, but he's really overcome a lot. And obviously, Hunter Dickinson in the post, it's a stabilizing force, but you've got to get guys that understand how to play the game. The real breakout guy for me is going to be Brandon Johns Jr. I think that kid's going to turn around and score 15, 16 points a game and be a first or early second-round draft pick.
Hmm.
John, I want to ask you about the two other teams that are expected to be towards the top of the league. Purdue, bringing back everybody. Jaden Ivey's a budding star. And then Ohio State, you don't have to tell people how good the Illinois native E.J. Liddell is. He showed that quite a bit. What do you think about those two teams as we head into this year?
Well, Purdue's ridiculous. It's just amazing what Matt Painter's done. And I know it's funny, some people like to fight it. And they like to say, like, oh, enough of Purdue. And I'm like, no. If you just look at what they really do, they establish an identity. And by the way, they recruit to their identity. And in doing so, they don't have to recruit. I said to Matt Painter, I said, when I think of you guys, we did these interviews for Sirius, and I said, when I think of you guys, I think of toughness, execution, you know, obviously size, and probably one of the greatest home environments in college basketball
no
right
doubt.
Now. It's as loud as it gets. And I said, who's a better recruiter, all of that stuff or Matt Painter? and the question was, it was rhetorical, so don't even answer, Matt. Like, but it's ultimately those things. And what they've established has allowed them to get guys that fit. They have good fit guys. And that matters more in a place like Purdue than it does probably anywhere else. You know, Illinois is a talent pool, and you got to maximize your talent, right? Indiana's kind of the same way. Purdue, you better know who you are, and you better get guys that fit. They've got that, and that's why they're going to be good once again. Now, from Ohio State's standpoint, I always love this team early. I feel like they're the most polished team in college basketball early in the season. It's just whether they can stay healthy, and it's whether they can continue to improve. because at times over the last few years, you know, Chris Holtmann has these teams playing at an incredibly high level. They look like they're the best team in college basketball, but someone finds a weakness, right? Because that's what coaches are good at. They're good at finding another team's weakness, and they exploit it. I think the weaknesses are going to be hard to find in this Ohio State team so long as they continue to be polished. I also think the addition of Jamari Wheeler is huge from Penn State.
Yep.
You know, there are some guys out there that are just plain winners. He's one of them. And winners are not always the guys that win games, but they win at life. They win in practice. They win in the locker room. If you went bowling, they might lose at bowling, but somehow you're like, but that dude's a winner. Like, you just know it. You feel it. You see it every day. He's going to make everybody better, and I think he's going to be a key addition to that team in more ways than one. So you've got a little stabilizing force there. You've got the size in E.J. Liddell and Kyle Young, which I think they complemented each other as well as anybody, any backcourt in the Big Ten. They really do, because they can play together, and that's the hardest thing with big guys. So this is going to be a polished team early, but can they continue to improve? Can they adapt to their opponents? Because that's where they struggled a little bit is when teams adapt to them, they've got to have that counter. And they've got to have another counter beyond that to make themselves difficult as the seasons go on.
John, we've kept you too long. I only have one final one. How in the world do you figure out? I mean, you were sitting here talking about three teams, four, with Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, and you're just rattling off names, rattling off how they play. How do you keep track of all these, and not just in the Big Ten, but I'm talking all throughout the country? That's a lot of homework, my friend.
I don't even know. I mean, honestly, you know, there was a movie, Old School. You guys remember the movie Old School with Will Ferrell?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Will Ferrell when he does the debate. You know what I mean? Like, when they ask him a question, and he rattles off an answer, and you're like, wow, that made sense. And then he snaps out of it and says, what did I say? That's kind of me, I think. I think my subconscious takes over, and I say things that I hope to God make sense. And if not, look, there's always Twitter. Twitter will remind me if I got it right.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, no, I do. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's kind of easy because you love it.
Yeah. Amen.
The second I don't love doing this, then I've got problems. And then I'll turn into one of those guys who just gives you nonsensical opinions and tells you Final Four locks, you know, before the season even starts. Like, I'm more one of those guys that likes to be grounded a bit and say, why are we even doing a top 25? It's the biggest nonsense of the world. Yet, at the same time, when I do a halftime report, they say, give me your top five teams. Like, the season hasn't started yet, guys. What are you doing here?
Right.
I can tell you what I know, and I can tell you what we don't know. And somewhere in between, there's some truth.
Stop using common sense, John Crisman. It doesn't. You know.
Heaven forbid. I might be out of a job if I keep doing that.
You better stop. Well, listen, I love watching The Ascension. We hope that you continue to do it because you do a wonderful job. We've had a ton of people already text in on our text line saying this is great stuff. So, John, we really appreciate this. Apologize for wearing you out here too long. And I know it's bedtime in the Crisman house.
Yeah.
So, good night, I guess.
Yeah, bedtime, and I think Hallmark movies start. So we're probably going to have a Hallmark Christmas movie on already. That's what we do.
Big night. Big little night in the Crispin hour. Back to old school. You know, we got a big day tomorrow. Home Depot for flooring. John, thank you, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Hey, anytime. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. That is great stuff. John Crisman, ESPN basketball analyst. Again, follow him on Twitter, at John Crisman, ESPN. He's a great follow. He really does he's one of those guys that does do a great job. And it's funny when he said that, because I've told you before, I'm not a big top 25 guy, but it does mean something for your program. And it is ironic that I started the conversation with John talking about Illinois right outside the top 10. And then at the very end, he's like, yeah, I don't know why we do that stuff, which is so true. And it does make a lot of sense, because basically we're just basing it on who you've got back and what kind of freshman you got coming in. I think Michigan is the perfect example. If you listen to you, Derek, talk about how much they've lost, and then you listen to John Crisman talk about how important a guy like Mike Smith or some of these, you know, Isaiah Livers and Franz Wagner and what they mean to that or meant to that team, and now all of a sudden you're injecting freshmen in. Don't get me wrong, they're very talented freshmen. But are you sure they're a top six team in the country? You don't know that, right? I mean, I'd rather have Franz Wagner, Mike Smith, and Isaiah Livers probably back than these freshmen. But there again.
Shaundi Brown, another one.
And Shaundi Brown, a glue guy. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe I'll be watching Michigan saying, okay, never mind. these guys are really good. But he's right. I mean, it's just it's early. Let's see how it works. But certainly that's something that people love. They love the AP Top 25, and it's a pride thing. If you're part of that, and especially if you're a part of that, you know, top 10, which Illinois is right on the outside looking in on that. So it gives you something as a fan to look at and say, hey, we're finally top 10 now in the country. Cool stuff. Cool stuff. He's good.
He is good.
He's really good.
He's very good. It gives us something to talk about.
Oh, amen.
In terms of the top 25.
Yeah,
and
it does.
I get it. I mean,
it does.
In a couple of weeks, and you've played some people. Well, some people don't play anybody for a month, month and a half.
Right.
Then it sorts itself out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How's Gonzaga's non-con?
Usually pretty loaded.
It's really loaded normally. And I know a lot of people get upset with Gonzaga during the season because they get into their conference play. What is that, the West Coast Conference? They get into that, and people are like, well, wait, you know, Illinois is battling Michigan tonight, and then they battle Wisconsin, and then they battle Ohio State, and then they've got Purdue. And Gonzaga's playing, you know, like Pacific and
Pepperdine,
you know, beautiful campuses, but come on. But certainly Gonzaga showed last year by getting to the national title game, and with their non-conference, they're not scared. Mark Few and crew, they're not scared. And I think Mark Few also understands that. He understands that we have to face some good teams early to challenge us. No longer is it a we have to face good teams early to get notoriety and get ranked and get into the NCAA tournament. I mean, they're coming into the season basically ranked number one in the country by most pundits, but still you've got to get that non-conference schedule loaded so that you can face some really good teams and get used to that when March rolls around. So are you looking at it?
I've
what
got
does it,
it
look like?
And it might include, they might be in some kind of tournament where you would add even more to the list. For some reason, I thought I had remembered they were in one, but just on the schedule now, they have Texas at home.
Okay.
Texas is going to be super talented. Did as well, or actually better than anybody in the transfer portal. Chris Beard now there.
Yep.
UCLA and Duke.
Wow.
Texas Tech, Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
So that not all in order, but those are the standout games. I mean, I'm not going to read you like Dixie State that they start off with. It's literally Dixie State, November 9th. But
Dixie State in Alabama? Isn't that the Dixie State? Is there a Dixie State? I don't even know. We'll see.
Dixie State Trailblazers from St. George, Utah.
Oh, okay. So that's not even close to Alabama. My bad. Dixie State. Well, it would make sense they'd play somebody out in the West. But, yeah, I mean, other than Texas Tech, I mean, Texas Tech's still supposed to be pretty good, right?
They're KenPom number 12.
Holy cow. So you've got Duke, who's probably KenPom, what, top 10?
Duke is 10, UCLA 7, Texas Tech is 12, Texas is 14, Alabama is 19.
Wow. Okay. So five schools inside the top 20 on the KenPom. So if Ken Pomeroy likes them, then we think they're good. That's exactly what we do. Well, that was good stuff with John Crispin. Trevor Valise, thank you for setting that up. That was a great interview, and we'll have to certainly not wear him out, but we'll have to have him on again once maybe in between non-conference and when Big Ten starts, although there's always that early Big Ten slate where you play two games, and Illinois is determined. I was going to keep going with words, but I can't think of anything more, to go 2-0 for the first time ever in the first two Big Ten games. Who'd they lose to last year? Rutgers?
At Rutgers, yeah.
At Rutgers. So Illinois, since they started this about 3 years ago or four, Illinois has never gone 2-0 in those first two Big Ten games. And then, of course, you get another handful of non-conference games, and then you really start playing Big Ten schedule in January. So maybe this will be the year. Don't we play at home twice?
No, you get home against Rutgers and then at Iowa.
Oh. Okay.
Not the same Iowa team.
No.
But as long as Bohannon doesn't go off for 25 or 30,
they'll be ready.
Should be in good shape.
They'll be ready. That will be a game they've already circled.
Carver will be hyped up for sure.
That will be a game. Are you going to go to every game? Probably.
I hope so.
Is there any you may miss?
Let's see. I've never been to Nebraska. I have to do that for the first time this year.
I don't know that you need to.
Yeah, maybe not. At Rutgers, I don't know if I'll make that trip.
Although Pinnacle Arena is supposedly one of the best, if not the best, in the Big Ten.
It's Nebraska's the only Big Ten arena I haven't been to.
Okay. Yeah, you got to go to that. You've been to the Rack.
Been to the Rack.
Is that the worst?
No.
Oh,
Northwestern's pretty.
The super sectional.
Pretty, eh.
It's the high school super sectional tonight in Evanston. I'm sorry, Northwestern. It's not fair to you.
It's nice. Like, now that they've renovated, yeah. It's just small.
Have you and I ever sat down and gone through your best to least favorite Ten arena?
I don't think we've done a list, no.
I wonder if we should do that next hour. I think people would love hearing that because you've been to all of them but Nebraska. I've been to quite a few of them. I'm so old, they don't even play in some of them anymore. That's how bad it is. Like, you know, but I know, like, the Barn in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that atmosphere. There is something about the old school feel of the Barn that's really cool. Maybe you and I will sit down and go through. Now, your opinion's going to weigh a lot heavier than mine because, especially more of recent value to where you've been in these, you know, like State Farm Center has. Well, I mean, I've been in it since it's new, but, you know, even they've made some upgrades. So I'm sure some of these others, like Northwestern, has upgraded. I haven't been in there
since. Chrysler Center's upgraded.
Right. So let's go through that a little bit, okay. And we can talk about, that's a cool Friday thing.
We might be able to pull that off better than breaking down Illinois-Penn State, like, really nitty-gritty, because there's not a whole lot to say.
No.
Unfortunately, we don't know who's going to start at quarterback for Illinois.
No.
There was literally an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that said it may not matter if Sean Clifford plays against Illinois. Like, literally, that's the headline.
Oh, man.
Now, their quarterback did not play well against Iowa. So they were off last week, but then were in Iowa City before that, and he threw two interceptions, and
yeah.
Completion percentage wasn't very good, but, of course, a little bit different.
You don't know what's coming, my friend. You don't know what's coming on Saturday from the Orange and Blue.
I literally don't, to an extent.
Wait, I wasn't talking to you.
Oh.
I was talking to the quarterback.
Gotcha.
At Penn State. My friend, you are going to see a lot of orange helmets around your head. You don't know what's coming. All right, I'm trying to get myself fired up, and I can't. Let's do the stadium thing.
I'm down with that.
Let's do the arena thing.
I'm good with that.
359-2255. If you've been in an away Big Ten arena, what's your favorite? Or where have you been, and what did you like about it? There's a big-time program that I actually was not a fan of their basketball arena. So we can discuss all that next hour. We've got who you got. Hans D. not here, but Trevor is going to take over the reins of that, I think, unless he just bails and takes off, and then we can handle it. No, he's shaking his head. He's going to be here. He's excited for that. So we'll do all that next. We're going to take a break. We may be back before the end of this hour, or I may just take you up to the top. I'll let you decide.
You don't know what's coming.
You don't know what's coming. It is the drop. Down.